chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, and no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, there'll be no doubt when you see you are. Grass make heaven in the middle of it. Grass make heaven in the middle. We are grass make
secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. We're really, this Ukraine war is terrible. It's just dislocating just millions. Children, women, children are dying at the hands of these bombings and so forth, and this artillery, the shelling that's going on. So we've got to try to work our way through. And Putin made a big mistake and was drawn into this. And I hope that they'll settle this thing quickly. We're going to start off with an interview by Alex and Dr. Reiner Fuhlmich. And he's the man, doctor, that convened the grand jury recently over in Germany, and to hear evidence about the problems of the COVID and the vaccines and so forth and so on. And he has a lot to say now about this being a world system, you could say conspiracy, to bring us under the umbrella of a new world order or a world government and a world currency and so forth. What he has to say is very penetrating and very to the point. So here we go with Alex and Dr. Fuhlmich.
Well, the net result is that this has never been about health. This is just one gigantic hoax. I keep telling people that had somebody told me this 2 years ago, I would have told them to go take their pills, see a doctor, and everything will be fine. But in the meantime, it looks like we're running out of conspiracy theories. All of these formerly conspiracy theories turn out to be true. So the most important result is it's not about health. So the big question is, what is it about? So we spoke with geopoliticians, historians, all kinds of scientists from all walks of science. And the short answer is, this is about global world domination.
You know where the CIA tunes in, right? You know where the Russians tune in? You know everybody tunes in, right? You know who Tucker Carlson tunes into, and Joe Rogan, and Elon Musk? You know where they tune in, right? They tune in right here.
InfoWars. Tomorrow's news, today.
Dr. Reiner Fuhlmich is our guest for the next 25 minutes. He's going to be back with us for a full hour very soon. He's on the road. He's agreed to graciously pop in with us here. I've been trying to get him on for over a month. He put together very successful public hearings with the scientists, with the doctors, with the experts, and then had them come to their conclusions, which is what our government would recommend in the last 60, 70 years. In a country with an authoritarian regime, have public hearings, have a public grand jury, have the findings put out, and that's one of the ways to nonviolently bring down a corrupt system or stop crimes from being committed. And that's what he did. It captured the imagination of the world, really got people informed, and it's one of the things that, along with Joe Rogan, broke the back of the big COVID power grab. It's still going on, but by stealth, because they don't want to fight us now in the open with their takeover. And he just has one of the best minds when it comes to laying it out. I'm not going to read his whole bio here. You can find his website at crimesagainsthumanitytour.com, crimesagainsthumanitytour.com. I won't go over his whole lengthy bio here, but he is a trial lawyer specializing in banking and stock exchange law, private international law, and medical law, and he is also a very well accredited and respected. So thank you for joining us, Doctor. As you know, we've only got 20 minutes, so you've got the floor.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for having me, Alex.
Thank you. So where are we now since your amazing hearings that hundreds of millions watched?
Well, the thing is, the reason why my friend and colleague Viviana Fisher and myself started this Corona Investigative Committee on July 10th, 2020 is because we didn't feel that we were getting any answers to the questions that not just we, but we believed most people wanted answers to from either the mainstream media or our politicians. Now, in the meantime, of course, we found out that our politicians are not our politicians, but they're all bought and paid for by the World Economic Forum, mostly by its Global Young Leaders Program. The questions we wanted answers to is, one, how dangerous is this virus really? We're not denying that there's a virus out there. Number two is, how reliable is the PCR test? And number three, how much damage do the anti-corona measures do? Well, in the meantime, we know, of course, that the virus itself is no more dangerous than the common flu. It has a survival rate of 99.97%. Children are at no risk whatsoever, statistically speaking. And the PCR test, which is the basis for everything, the PCR test is a fake, not the real PCR test, as it was invented by a Nobel Prize winner and very funny, witty, intelligent guy, Carrie Mullis, but the version that was invented by a German hoax, fraud. His name is Professor Dr. Drosten. He's neither a real professor nor is he a real doctor. He's a complete fake. But he invented the PCR test that he claims tells us everything about infections. Now, that is impossible because the PCR test can't distinguish between dead and live matter. So if you test positive, it's very likely that maybe you had a flu or the common cold 4 or 5 months ago, because both the flu and the common cold also contains a coronavirus. What's more important, in order to be infected, you need a whole virus to enter your cells and then start replicating there. That's when you have symptoms as well. A whole virus is never found by this PCR test, because whatever the swab is being put into a machine, but it's destroyed literally before it's put into the machine. So you only detect fragments. So per se, this test cannot tell you anything about infections. That's what this guy invented, and that is the basis for everything. Because, you know, in January of 2020, when the World Health Economic – I'm sorry, when the World Health Organization was put under pressure by some of its most potent donors to declare a public health emergency of international concern, there were no cases. In order for a public health emergency of international concern to be declared, you need cases, and cases are infections. So they told Drosten to start work on his PCR test, and he played along with it. And a couple of weeks later, he came up with this PCR test. The two basic lies on which everything else is founded is they're both from him, and they were then spread to the world by the World Health Organization. One is they're asymptomatic infections. What do you need that for? It's necessary to make everyone be afraid of everyone, no matter how healthy they look. In the meantime, we know, of course, that there are no asymptomatic infections, in particular not with respiratory diseases. Anyone who has a respiratory disease has symptoms. Well, after all, what do? If you want to go see a doctor because you feel kind of strange, the first question your doctor is going to ask you is, what symptoms do you have? What are you going to say? I watch too much Fauci? It's not a really good symptom. So without any symptoms, there is no infections. But the PCR test, that's the second lie, that the PCR test can detect infections. It cannot, because, as I said, it cannot distinguish between dead and live matter, and it cannot, it doesn't see whether or not there's a whole virus. Based on these two lies, the World Health Organization then declared a public health emergency of international concern. The first time they tried it, they failed, because, you know, I think this is at the end of January of 2020, there were no cases, so they couldn't agree on declaring a public health emergency of international concern. The second time, 2 weeks later, it worked. Why? Because Drosten had supplied them with his PCR test. And this test, as I said, per se, cannot tell you anything about infections, but the way it was set up, it was guaranteed to create cases. false.
Well, that's
positive.
Right. And Dr. Fulmick, you've done a great job laying all out. Just briefly, you'll come back again next week, hopefully, when you get back to town, back to the West. You've done really good boil downs on the Great Reset and why they did it, the 35,000-foot view of why they would dare do something like this. And then I want to get into the findings of this huge conference and this grand jury you put on. I loved how USA Today and others, we'll talk about that next segment, tried to spin it like you were trying to say this was an official grand jury, when citizen grand juries are a well-known part of free societies, even listed by the State Department as one of the main ways to expose corruption or corrupt regimes or corrupt corporations. I mean, that's, and then USA Today attacks what our own State Department says is a good thing to do.
Well, the reason why we decided on a grand jury investigation is it was at the suggestion of one of our international colleagues from New Mexico, Anna Garner. She said, let's do it like a grand jury investigation, because that way we will not have a decision that needs to be enforced, but rather it ends with a jury declaring that they want to indict the people who the putative defendants.
It lays out a historic roadmap for real prosecutors and real grand juries.
Exactly. We have real attorneys, we have a real judge, we have real experts, and we have real witnesses explaining about the damages that they suffered, in particular the health damages that they suffered because of the so-called vaccines. And we did this outside of the official court system, because we realized that in most countries, it's different in the United States, it's different in India, but it's surely true in Europe, in particular in Germany, we would not get a fair hearing for such a proceeding. That's why we did it outside of the actual court system. But this is only the first step. There will be more such trials to follow. And we expect, and it's happening already, that in some cases, people will set up their own new jurisdictions, because this is what it's all about. It's us, the people, who have the power to do such a thing. In other cases, in particular in the United States, they're going to force their own judiciaries to do their job. And the only thing they need to do is listen to the hearings that we held, and then they can invite the very same experts. I don't think they're going to change their story.
That's right. You've laid out an incredible blueprint. And since you guys did this, you've been one of the main people out there organizing the experts. It's all coming out confirming everything you guys said, and what we see with Moderna and Pfizer and them hiding and the stock imploding. We're going to come back and talk about where you see this going and what happens next with Dr. Reiner Fulmick. You need to visit his site. It's Fulmick.com and CrimesAgainstHumanityTour.com as well. All right, Dr. Reiner Fulmick is on the road. He's a very famous biomedical lawyer and also deals with stock exchange law, private international law, and so much more. And he's been the major chairman of the board of large companies. I'm going to leave it right there. And also Democratic grassroots parties. And he's here for only another 8-9 minutes. He's got to go. I've got so many questions. Just briefly, what else do you want to get out to folks that's developed since your big citizens grand jury? But first, can you just tell us, I mean, I know I watched it, but or parts of it, what the findings of the citizens grand jury was?
Well, the net result is that this has never been about health. This is just one gigantic hoax. I keep telling people that had somebody told me this 2 years ago, I would have told them to go take their pills, see a doctor, and everything will be fine. But in the meantime, it looks like we're running out of conspiracy theories. All of these formerly conspiracy theories turn out to be true. So the most important result is it's not about health. So the big question is, what is it about? So we spoke with geopoliticians, historians, all kinds of scientists from all walks of science. And the short answer is, this is about global world domination. It's probably a relatively small group of very rich people who are trying to gain complete control over the rest of the world, which they have looted and plundered at least over the last 3, 4, 5 decades, probably much longer. And it was only a question of time when we would come on to them and when we would understand what's really been going on. The first time that at least I, as a former banker, should have woken up is during the Lehman crisis, which started out as a housing crisis, but it was really a banking crisis. Because that's the first time that everyone should have known this is a gigantic fraud. This is how they sell homes in the United States and in Germany, defrauding people out of their money and selling these homes at two or three times its actual fair market value. This is what happened in Germany, and this is what happened in the United States. But the only thing we got from our politicians, who we then thought were our politicians, is promises. This is never going to happen again. We're going to hold everyone responsible. Well, they didn't do anything. No one went to jail. The only thing they did is they kept printing money. And this thing, of course, couldn't go. It had to explode, and it was about to implode again. The entire system was about to implode again, probably in September of 2019. There was a meeting of central bankers at Jackson Hole in Wyoming, and we know that they were in a huge panic back then. BlackRock, for example, suggested that something really bold needed to be done in order to distract people from what was really going on. So that is when they came up with the idea that this is right, this is the right moment for Corona. So ultimately, this is what it's about. They want complete control, because if we find out about them, they're not going to last much longer. They want complete control. They want a one-world government. It's the globalists, whom you mentioned, one-world government, and they want one-world currency, digital currency, so that they can dictate, much like the Chinese social credit system, they can dictate and control everything we do. And when we found that out, we realized that the only way you can deal with this is not to fix the system, because I don't think this system can be fixed. And none of the people who I spoke with.
Well, this system's totally predatory. I agree. It is designed to implode all of us to maintain control, so they ride us down through a control collapse.
Exactly. So that's the one way out is to create us, those who ask questions, who are creative, who are not used to following orders. We have the power, and we have the right, and I think we have the duty to set up our own system of healthcare, of economics, of education, and yes, judiciary. This should be a parallel system. It'll be so attractive that the other side, or many of those who are still on the other side, will jump off the fence on our side of the fence and will ultimately help us. But for the time being, we have to do something to stop this. It looks as though the corona narrative is about to implode. It has imploded in many parts of the world.
That was my next question, and then you're going to join us again soon for a full hour. We know you're on the road middle of the night. Thank you, doctor. But clearly it's imploding very fast. And I predicted once it started imploding, they'd launch a war. Why do you think it's imploding so fast? And I don't want us to be too confident. What are you worried about? Because you know they're going to try something else.
Well, they are trying something else already. The new way to put us in panic mode is through war. There's war in Ukraine, and the big question is, what is it really that's going on there? I think this is part of their agenda. Just today, we had another hearing of the Corona Committee in Berlin, and we spoke with a group of people. One of them is an American who really know everything about what's going on there, about the long-term historical backdrop of the geopolitical consequences of what's happening and what has been happening. It looks as though it's not a stage war. It's a real war. So we have to feel really sorry about the people who are suffering there. But it looks as though Ukraine is just another puppet of the Anglo-American financial mafia, as I call them. That's the City of London, not London, but the City of London and its fifth column, Wall Street. They're using them as pawns, Ukrainians, and they're doing this in order to drive a wedge between, just like World War I and World War II, between Russia and the West. It's going to be NATO against Russia, and I think that's what all the rhetoric is aimed at, the rhetoric of our politicians, just like in the United States. They're all talking as though we're at war with Russia, even though it's just Ukraine and Russia. And I believe that if you take a closer look at how this war started, you'll come up with a completely different picture, including that Russia was humiliated for at least 8 years by Ukrainians bombarding the autonomous regions of the Donbas, as they call it, and never ever being able to strike back. So they drew several red lines. I'm not saying they're good people. I mean, the Russians are good people. I'm not saying Putin is a good man. I don't know if he
but,
is.
Yeah, but yeah, if you start a fight with people, you're going to get a fight.
Exactly, and that's what happened. They provoked him so much that he just didn't have a choice. Now, the big question is, will it get out of control or not? If it does get out of control, we will have a real war in all of Europe, and the major battlefield will be Germany.
Well, I noticed years ago, different globalists said, if you try to get rid of the EU, there'll be a war in Europe. And we're like, a war in Europe? Why would that happen? No, they were saying, we'll start one. And they'll just cross Russian red lines and start a war. And that's what Biden even encouraged Putin to invade. And that's when I'm like, hey, you need to not invade Putin, but we're here now. All right. Well, in the near future, Dr. Reiner Fulmick, I hope you'll join us. You're doing incredible work. I know talking to crowds of thousands, tens of thousands, and hundreds of thousands. They obviously launched COVID as a power grab to try to make us forget about globalism. I think it's bit them in the ass. What do you think?
Globalism is, of course, the one thing that we don't want. We want our own sovereignty. We want our individual identities. We want our individual cultures. The reason we're traveling to Italy or to France is not despite the fact that they're different. It's because they're different, and we want them to be different. We do not want globalists. We have to disconnect from the globalists. Both.
That's
from
right,
Dr.
Fulmick. Incredible job. Talk to you soon.
These are not conspiracy theories anymore. This is actually, these people have been predicting. These so-called conspiracy theorists have been predicting what's going on and what is happening out into the future. So this is what's very important to understand that don't, you got to take this stuff serious now because it's happened. Mike Adams is talking up next with Alex. And he's talking about food and fertilizer. He's a food scientist out of Bastrop, Texas area, and he does a lot of analysis on foods and so forth. So he's considered to be a world expert in this area. And he has a lot to say about Russia and Belarus both. I think Belarus brings us a lot of potash, and Russia brings us a lot of fertilizer ingredients and bases and so forth. And so as a result, we need to continue to import this, but they're shutting us down. They're shutting Russia down. So there's going to be giant starvation perhaps in sub-Saharan Africa and so forth. We don't know for sure how this is going to work out. But anyway, here's what Mike Adams has to say, and he should be closely listened to.
Understand that half the world's population, about 4 billion people, are only alive today because of hydrocarbon-based fertilizers. Through that process, I just described the Haber equation. Now, understand, you know, plants need nitrogen. Nitrogen is about 80% of the atmosphere. We're swimming in a nitrogen soup in gaseous form all around us every day. But plants can't use that nitrogen until it's combined with hydrocarbons, typically from natural gas, but they can also use methane and so on. And so that Haber process, which requires big industrial plants, you have to have 200 times atmospheric pressure and so on in order to kind of crush these elements into a new molecule, which is the ammonia molecule, or NH3. N is nitrogen from the air. H is the hydrogen from hydrocarbons. That's how you get ammonia. So now we have a global shortage of ammonia and Russia cutting off fertilizer exports. Russia produces a massive amount of fertilizer for the world. And Belarus also produces a tremendous amount of potash. So remember, you need phosphorus and you need potassium in addition to nitrogen in order for crops to grow. Well, if you cut off the thing that feeds 4 billion people, what happens to the 4 billion people? So as you've been saying, Alex, I've been listening the last couple of days intently about what you're saying. This is a global reset cover story. They're going to blame Russia while they crush food supplies, crush fertilizer, crush energy, crash the economies, but then it's all going to be Putin's fault.
So Mike Adams is here to cover the waterfront. Over a year and a half ago, he was just hammering that they're going to cut the fertilizer off next and they start a big war. He's been dead on. Tomorrow's News Today, naturalnews.com. And he's got a bunch of articles out on this. The starvation matrix decoded, Russian fertilizer, hydrocarbon CO2, the Haber equation, and crop yields explained. This is so important. This just came out. We're going to be getting to corn and soybean. Farmer warns Americans that average grocery bill will increase by $1,000 a month, and that'll starve the third world to death. When the metric goes above the level it's already gone above, it will cause mass rebellions in the third world. When you spend more than half your paycheck on food, it's a well-known equation. Last time it happened, we had the Arab Spring. The binary weapon extermination plot becomes clear. mRNA, spike protein injection, suppressed DNA repair, followed by global nuclear events that unleash DNA-damaging radiation. So much more. I want, and Mike's going to take over because I want to actually hear him talk. He's going to host the rest of the show coming up here in about 20 minutes, and then Owen Schroyer's coming up. But, Mike, you're always on fire. You've really been on fire lately. Obviously, I just want your take on Russia and Ukraine and just big picture, and then we'll zoom in next segment and drill into all these other facets. But good to see you there, my friend. Wow, what a time to be alive.
Isn't it, though? Yeah, thank you for having me on, Alex. So, Ukraine, breaking news, just today announced that they're banning all exports of wheat and buckwheat, oats, I think barley, millet, meat, and other crops in order to try to protect their own domestic supply. Now, the reason this matters, and this is on the heels of Hungary a few days ago banning exports of wheat there, is because Ukraine and Russia together export about 25%, or actually it's 28% of the world's wheat supply. Now, in addition to that now being lost to the rest of the world that's trying to feed itself, we have gone through an era of extreme crop failures globally. We've had drought in South America. We've had drought across the western United States for the last growing season. In China, they've had extreme floods. And then in Europe, they are no longer going to be able to produce fertilizer. This is a key thing that we are going to talk about here today, I hope, which is that fertilizer, the nitrogen-based fertilizers are produced from natural gas. And so you have to have hydrocarbons, which typically come out of Russia, and they go through the pipelines into Germany and other Western European nations, ultimately, in order to produce ammonia, which is the basis for the nitrogen-based fertilizers. Now, I know you appreciate this, Alex. This is critical. You can't make fertilizer from solar panels. You can't make fertilizer out of wind farms. You can't make fertilizer out of hydroelectric dams generating electricity. You need hydrocarbons. And the equation, it's in my article today. I've got three key equations for those who want to put on their nerd caps today and study the equations. But we all need to understand the Haber equation, photosynthesis, and hydrocarbon combustion. And how those three things now interrelate, and how the globalists are weaponizing all of this in order to cause global famine. And my prediction, Alex, and I'll turn it back to you, my prediction is by the end of this year, 1 to 2 billion people on planet Earth will face starvation because of what's been set into motion in the last 2 weeks.
And again, you're explaining to people what the mainline scientists and the major head funds and all of them are saying. This is not debatable. We could argue some fine points of how bad it's going to be, but this is a pretty conservative breakdown you've got here, that if you cut off the food supply, people starve. And in this equation, it's simple math that if you feed someone lower calories than they need to live, they die. Well, and so that's a larger equation for billions of people. And now the UN's running around saying billions are about to be on the edge of starvation, not hundreds of millions like the COVID lockdowns did. And now they're blaming Russia for that. Well, I don't care who you blame. The point is, this is the Great Reset, and most of the damage has been caused by the ongoing lockdowns that the IMF and World Bank demanded in the third world. Some countries are still under lockdown. I mean, this is crazy, and it's all been planned, Mike, as you've said.
Yes, and understand that half the world's population, about 4 billion people, are only alive today because of hydrocarbon-based fertilizers through that process I just described, the Haber equation. Now, understand, you know, plants need nitrogen. Nitrogen is about 80% of the atmosphere. We're swimming in a nitrogen soup in gaseous form all around us every day. But plants can't use that nitrogen until it's combined with hydrocarbons, typically from natural gas, but they can also use methane and so on. And so that that Haber process, which requires big industrial plants, you have to have 200 times atmospheric pressure and so on, in order to kind of crush these elements into a new molecule, which is the ammonia molecule, or NH3. N is nitrogen from the air. H is the hydrogen from hydrocarbons. That's how you get ammonia. So now we have a global shortage of ammonia, and Russia cutting off fertilizer exports. Russia produces a massive amount of fertilizer for the world, and Belarus also produces a tremendous amount of potash. So remember, you need phosphorus and you need potassium in addition to nitrogen in order for crops to grow. Well, if you cut off the thing that feeds 4 billion people, what happens to the 4 billion people? So as you've been saying, Alex, I've been listening the last couple of days intently about what you're saying. This is a global reset cover story. They're going to blame Russia while they crush food supplies, crush fertilizer, crush energy, crash the economies, but then it's all going to be Putin's fault. That's what they're setting up.
You're absolutely right. And the globalists, whether they're in France or Australia or here in the U.S., they brag. Psaki and the head of the Energy Department and Buttigieg, the head of transportation, they all say, oh, it's a transition. Yeah, we could cut the price, but we're not. But it's not a transition onto where we have windmills and they work or solar panels. It's a transition where the third world starves to death, and then who survives flood the first world, and then they collapse the first world as well. This is how we own nothing and have nothing by 2030, Mike.
Right. And when they say zero emissions, the only way to achieve zero emissions is to have zero population. So it's really the Bill Gates equation that he presented at that TED talk the one time. Like he says, one of these variables has to go to zero, and one of them is P for population. So zero emissions, the only way you get there is through mass global starvation or killing people off. And we're in a very strange situation right now where the only way that there might be enough food to feed people for the next 1 to 2 years is if the vaccine die-off accelerates so rapidly that billions are killed and therefore billions won't starve. So the real question now is, what's going to kill you first? Is it the spike protein bioweapon, the mRNA injections that alter your chromosomes and turn you into a bioweapons factory? Or is it starvation and famine that's been engineered by the weaponization of the food system and the economic sanctions causing the cutoff of exports of grains and fertilizers and energy? That's the question. It's kind of like, how are we going to die?
Pick your poison. We're going to go to break, come back, and get more into the math on this. But you've said it. I've said it. How are they going to get away with injecting millions of people with a soft kill weapon? Well, they've got to have a new bioweapon or a new war or a financial collapse, something that's so horrible, much worse than the last thing, that, you know, happens as an intense event. It's not in the aggregate worse than the bio attack that just happened. That's a soft kill, but it's so big and dramatic. It smoke screens what they already did to us. And now here we are. We knew it. We both predicted war. And so we're going to come back and ask Mike Adams, what comes next? What's the next shoe to drop after this? And is there a way to reverse this countdown to extinction? This countdown to Armageddon, naturalnews.com, incredible flagship of liberty, infowars.com, the tip of the spear. They wanted us all off the air by now, but we're still here because of you to be on air during this critical time, which gives us a real chance, I think, to mitigate how bad this is going to get. But it's going to get bad. So get prepared and get ready, folks, because these are going to, you're going to look back on 2022. I think it was the good old days. Stay with us.
Boy, this is, I know this is like fear mongering. I know what this sounds like, but we're not doing that. We're trying to present the public with an objective view about what the possibilities are in the future. Coming up next is Sean Stone. He's the son of Oliver Stone, who's put out a few years ago some very, very insightful documentaries on the Ukraine on Fire and another one. So, and what they've done is they've taken those documentaries off and you can't find them anywhere. Tonight I'm going to put up the full documentary and movies that Oliver Stone has produced concerning the Ukraine, and also on my site. So go into thesecrettruth.com, thesecrettruth.com. I'll have a click off going to that that full movie, and there's well, it's more than a movie; it's a documentary, but it's really, really insightful. So I go in there, and I'm going to put the full interviews up also on my site. So you can not only, we're just putting up excerpts tonight, but you can come in to thesecrettruth.com and get the full interview. But here we go with Sean Stone coming up next, interviewed by Alex again. But anyway, son of Oliver Stone, but a producer and director in his own right.
Guess what YouTube, which is really Google, right, owning it, what did they tell him that the reason they censored it? Because it was some kind of violent, organized crime? That was the implication of literally what they said to him in terms of why they took it down. It was connected to violent, organized crime. I guess that being Russia. It's a bizarre, bizarre accusation.
That is huge news, exclusive here. Ukraine on fire, taken off YouTube by Google because they're claiming interviewing Russian leaders is interviewing organized crime and that your dad and the director are organized criminals. I mean, that's a thing they're using a lot now against even conservatives is saying, oh, you're involved in organized crime.
Right. I mean, it's funny because, as we know, conspiracy is always the way that the government has targeted organized crime, right? But when we say conspiracy, they go, oh, you know, there are no conspiracies unless it's the government making accusations of people connected to organized crime or terrorism.
Well, look, I mean, I get that we've gotten – but that's the paradox. I'm the same way as what you're saying. I'm not putting you down. It's true. I've gotten used to being raped and abused and shut down and lied about and censored, and now Oliver Stone's being taken offline, and we're just like, well, we knew that was coming. And that's like the old quote out of Nazi Germany. First they came for this group, and then they came for that group. I mean, we're deep down the rabbit hole of tyranny right now.
We are. I mean, we've watched this. We've watched this roll out. And the funny thing is they set everything up really with 9/11 in the wake of that. That's why for those, I say, those of us that were awake, we saw where this was going. We saw where the total information awareness was going to go as far as, you know, these the social media, the use of the phones to surveil people. And then ultimately, I believe it's moving towards an AI that's ultimately going to determine, you know, who's infected with the virus of free thought.
That's right. All you got to do is go to band.video, just the word band.video, and right in the center at the top, the featured video is Ukraine on fire. In the year 2022, Oliver Stone, multi-time top screenwriter, director, everything, his film, the director, all of it censored in the United States of America. Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central, the tip of the spear is live. This is the Alex Jones Show. I am your humble and thankful host for all of you joining us and how your word of mouth is overriding the censors and conservatively 4 million people a day tune in live and millions watch the archive broadcast at band.video. We are changing the world together. Now, I had an old friend of mine, Sean Stone, who's a filmmaker and author and TV producer and news host from all over the world. And I also worked with him on Jesse Ventura's TV show for several seasons. And of course, his father is one of the greatest, you know, I'd say top three directors in the world when it comes to serious issues, number one. And of course, that's Oliver Stone. And so his film, Ukraine on Fire, from 7 years ago, you could turn it on today and it's all predictions came true. Then a few years ago, he made another film revealing Ukraine. These are being pulled down off of YouTube, off of all the places his dad put them up for free, even though they were big movies and movie theaters and successful films. And so he sits down and shows both sides and shows what's really going on. Well, they pulled it off of YouTube, and people keep putting it up like whack-a-mole. We have posted it back at band.video so that everybody can watch it for free, and that's Ukraine on Fire. We're also going to post the other one as well, revealing Ukraine that's even more powerful because it was just made 2 years ago. Now 2.5 years ago, but they're both incredible. Talk about evergreen tomorrow's news today. It's the only thing I gush over is stuff that's way before its time. That's where I'm at. My whole system is about what's before its time, what's ahead of the curve. We're not covering what's about to happen or what's already happening. We cover what's going to happen and then what happens after that. So look at these headlines that tie into this. This is out of the New York Post. It's all confirmed. The federal government, the Democratic Party, now wants big tech to censor any Americans amplifying anything they say that's pro-Russian, including InfoWars. We're being named in these stories, even though we just show both sides. Federal government using social media giants to censor Americans over COVID. And now, election questioning, and now Ukraine. Wow. Don't let Americans give their view on war. And now, we've got Oliver Stone's bombshell historic film censored, ladies and gentlemen. First, it's Alex Jones, then it's Donald Trump, now it's Oliver Stone. And we got the New York Times saying, don't search and research facts for yourself, and an article saying, don't go down the rabbit hole. The good guys don't tell you to not research, okay? We tell you to research. And it just goes on from there. The EU wants to sanction spreaders of misinformation, announcing criminal charges. World Economic Forum severs ties with Ukraine over Russia, or with Russia over Ukraine. And it goes on from there. And then Psaki gaslighting everyone, saying there are no biolabs, even though I have a whole folder right here of mainstream news when Obama built the labs and said they had bioweapons in them. That's coming up after Sean Stone leaves us, or I may get into that some with him while he's here. So, wow, you were just here with us Sunday, and there was some censorship of your dad's groundbreaking watershed films, evergreen films, and now they're taking them down everywhere, and it's not even an issue. Now Oliver Stone's being censored. I mean, we are becoming what we claim the Russians are. So, Sean, thanks for joining us.
You got it, Alex. Yeah. It reminds me of a short film I did in 2008. My first short film was called Singularity, and it was about a plague or a virus that spreads through respiratory, you know, coughing. But it creates an entire totalitarian state in America that uses AI surveillance to basically decide who is infected. And actually the whole posing of the question is it the idea that's actually the spreading of ideas, of a conspiracy, or saying maybe that, you know, this is totalitarian, that this is not okay.
And just to interrupt you, I remember seeing that film right when I first met you. It had just come out. I remember watching it, and it was amazing. Say the name again so people can pull that up and see it.
Oh, sure. It's called Singularity. It's a singularity because it's a singularity moment when basically everything transforms in our reality. And that's really what we feel like we've been living the last 2 years. So it's on Vimeo On Demand, you know, we're at the same place they can watch Best Kept Secret, my docuseries, Singularity.
Yeah, but you
also
talk about Tomorrow News Today. Remember, we in 2009, we helped Ventura produce that whole thing on how they would release a virus, have lockdowns, take over with Dr. Rima Labo. I mean, it's just crazy. We're not bragging, but I wonder why you and I have been so close to this and others didn't see it.
I think for us, we just look at its logic. You know, we just see patterns, right? Once you understood the surveillance state was becoming what it was after the Office of Total Information Awareness. Remember, they tried to set that up right after 9/11, and we realized, you know, who these neocons were, essentially, that were part of the Iran-Contra scandal, and they were involved in all kinds of money laundering and cocaine trafficking and things like this. And these same people were brought back in the Bush administration, and Poindexter, I remember in particular, right, trying to set up this total information awareness. And then once that was established, then you had Facebook come out, and over the years we become aware, right, Google and Facebook and their relationships with intelligence, it seems, you know, especially Google having a relationship to the CIA investment arm. I'm blanking on the name of that company. So the point being, we pay attention to what's happening and we see where it's going because we understand that there are psychopaths running the world.
That's right. Total information awareness networks, all of it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So the problem is people don't pay attention. People don't stay awake. You know, that when the reason I got interested in news and history is because when the Kosovo War happened, I remember, you know, just like when I was a kid seeing, you know, Saddam Hussein being compared to Hitler in 91. I remember in the Kosovo War and how they portrayed it, like the Serbs were these awful, barbaric people that were slaughtering everybody. Well, you actually understand that there was KLA was infiltrated with drug traffickers. It was a CIA operation. They were trying to do, as you know, heroin trafficking through Kosovo. That was very much an intention, not the only intention, but part of the intention of splintering Kosovo off, just like the Yugoslav wars in general.
Oh, it's on record that the West started through proxies the Serb war and that twice as many Serbs died as any other group. Does that mean the Serbs didn't kill a bunch of people? No, but they were attacked first. And then we bombed them with depleted uranium, but it was okay because Bill Clinton's liberal.
Exactly, exactly. We forgot all about that war. So, I mean, it's just horrendous how people forget. They watch the news, and the news is designed to tell you what? News. Like you said, they don't tell you about the, they don't tell you about the past. They don't tell you about history. They don't tell you about what's coming. They just say, you know, it's like 1984. Today, Eurasia, you know, Europa is fighting Oceania. And then, you know, the next day, it's Oceania is fighting Atlantia. And it's like, people are just meant to forget. They're not meant to actually connect dots and see the bigger picture. That's what we are here to do, is to see the bigger picture.
Exactly, Sean. But, I mean, talk about bigger picture. Your dad saw it 7 years ago with the first film, Ukraine on Fire, now the new one being censored. This is such a big deal that now Oliver Stone is having his YouTube, Google is taking it down when he's giving away a huge budget movie, a documentary. I mean, that is such an assault, a rape of our freedoms. Now celebrated Academy Award winners are being censored.
Well, I can't say it's a big deal because, I mean, once you've had Trump, your president, get, you know, be booted off Twitter, once you've seen all kinds of doctors, being, you know, called disinformation agents and, you know, and censored. I mean, why is that a surprise, you know, in all of his own documentary? Well, guess what? The Igor Lapotsenok is the director of that documentary. He's the one that was running the account. Guess what guess what YouTube, which is really Google, right? Owning it. What did they tell him that the reason they censored it? Because it was some kind of violent, organized crime?
Well, I'll tell you what, they're coming up with all kinds of things out there. You can't believe this mainline media anymore. They're a bunch of liars and so forth. Tucker Carlson, we're going to end the show with some stuff that he put on the table, and he really has been coming up with some fine stuff. Here we go with Tucker Carlson.
Good evening, and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. You wonder if, looking backward many years from right now, historians will notice the remarkable coincidence in timing. Have you noticed? Here it is. At exactly the moment when the emergency powers they awarded to themselves to fight COVID started to wane, our leaders began pushing for conflict with Russia. And then, on the basis of that conflict, they assumed historic war powers. Without even pausing, the Biden administration declared total economic war on a sovereign country. No American had been killed. The United States had not been invaded or attacked. And yet, with no meaningful public debate or congressional authorization, the Biden administration destroyed that country's currency, then removed it from the international banking system, then impoverished its population. Then the administration began seizing the property of people affiliated with that country without a trial or due process of any kind, without even bothering to explain exactly what crime they had committed. No American government had ever done anything like that before. If there was one thing the U.S. government long stood for, it was the rule of law. The integrity of the system was always the most important thing, but not anymore. That turned out to be an era, and that era is gone. Because the target is Russia, very few Americans have noticed any of this. They support it. Virtually no one has paused to ask him or herself where this might be going. How long until our leaders do something similar to their domestic enemies here in the United States? How long before they accuse you of collusion or disloyalty or some other hard-to-define crime, declare you an enemy of the state, and then confiscate your bank account? Something very much like that just happened in Canada. We don't imagine it could happen here. Mostly we just don't think about it. What we think about is Ukraine. And that's the other thing that's changed. The tech monopolies now exert a level of control over American public opinion that has no precedent in all of history. Eliminating Section 230 or whatever piddling reform Congress is talking about at the moment, it all seems like a joke at this point. It's too late. The medieval church had less command over a society's emotions than Facebook and Google and Twitter now do. For the past 2 years, you have watched these companies above all define who you as an American must hate. Depending upon their directive of the day, our citizens dutifully change their social media avatars, from BLM signs to mask up slogans to now Ukrainian flags. Each is a crisis, and each new crisis is carefully stage-managed from Silicon Valley at the direction of the White House. How does the human brain compete with this? How does it understand it? Well, it doesn't. Clarity and perspective become impossible. In the hysteria, even the recent past just evaporates. The morning that Russia invaded Ukraine, you may have been talking about a lot of different things, COVID or crime or the southern border. Not anymore. Much to relief of the White House, all of those topics have been forgotten, maybe forever. No population has ever been more skillfully manipulated than our population is being manipulated right now. But even with the tech monopolies on the case full time, there are limits. Some topics cannot be hidden, and inflation is one of them. Google can delete all the search results it wants, but you still know what hamburger and gasoline cost because you go to the store. You know exactly how bad inflation is. And it's bad. In fact, inflation is so high right now that even affluent people are worried about it. And not worried in some abstract sense, like about the long-term health of the country, though that too. People who make 250 grand a year are worried they will not be able to continue living as they do now. You may or may not feel sorry for them, but let's put it in perspective. Imagine if you made 50 grand a year or 30 grand a year, as many Americans do. You would be terrified in the face of this inflation, and maybe you are. So what's causing it? What is the root of the inflation? If you want to know the answer to that question, the fastest way to get it is to check to see what politicians are denying. Whatever they claim is not the cause of inflation almost certainly is the cause of inflation. And with that in mind, here's Joe Biden telling you that government spending has nothing to do with it.
We're on track right now. I'm on track to be the first president in history to lower the deficit by over $1 trillion in 1 year. So I'm sick of this stuff. We have to talk about it because the American people think the reason for inflation is government spending more money. Simply not true.
Now you can say, well, that's just Joe Biden. Joe Biden's never had a real job. Even before he became senile, he was reputed to be a dim bulb, and he was. But don't kid yourself. In the clip you just saw, Joe Biden knows perfectly well he's lying. It's simply not true, he squeaks. Really, Joe Biden, how is it simply not true? Notice he doesn't tell you how it's simply not true because, in fact, it is emphatically, unequivocally true. Inflation is a function of money supply. The more money you have in circulation, the less that money is worth. Even Joe Biden understands that. The month after Biden became president, the supply of U.S. dollars in circulation increased more than it ever had before in a single month. And then it kept going higher month after month after month as the administration and the Congress kept the money taps open. And that's why we have historic inflation now, because they printed too much money. It's not complicated. But it's not the whole story. It did not start with Joe Biden, to be fair. In the months after the 2008 financial crisis, the Federal Reserve assumed emergency powers to respond to the financial collapse. Now, if you're noticing a theme here, the people in charge giving themselves emergency powers in the face of a crisis they created, you may be onto something. But in any case, after 2008, the Fed dropped interest rates to near zero and then began printing money. This was supposed to save our economy. And maybe it would have saved the economy if it had ended at some point. But it did not end. It went on to the present day. That's nearly 14 years. And in the process, what was designed to save our economy destroyed our economy. Several times over the years, wiser heads at the Fed talked about dropping the emergency measures and reintroducing reality into the American economy, reintroducing market forces. Remember those? But each time they contemplated this, Wall Street revolted in very public ways. Wage growth in the productive economy had stalled, but the market for private jets was booming. So asset inflation became the basis of wealth for many people at the top end. Buy things, then sell them for more. Make nothing. Now, no society can continue like that for very long because it's not inherently productive. It's a shell game. But ours did for more than 14 years. And in the process, this country became more lopsided economically than it's ever been. Fewer people owning more of everything. The Fed was fully aware of this. They're not stupid. They knew they were causing these trends and that most of these trends were dangerous and bad for America. But the truth is nobody could stop it. Fed governors understood that markets would tank if they tried to pull back. So it was really a classic Ponzi. It was criminal mismanagement of our economy, but nobody could stop doing it for fear the whole thing would collapse. And now we're at the end stage. The Fed is out of tricks. The problem with inflation, and some economists want limited inflation at certain periods. Some people in Davos have been calling for it for years. But the problem with inflation levels like this is there is no simple way to pull them back. The Fed cannot painlessly massage its way out of $7 a gallon gas prices. So when you reach a state as we are now, you really have only two options. You can pretend it's not happening, or you can blame someone else for it. And the White House is trying both. Here's Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen trying the first.
We really protected most Americans from severe financial crisis consequences of the pandemic so that they're by and large in good financial shape, poised to spend enough to continue propelling solid growth in the U.S. economy. And we're seeing that in the labor market.
Now, you wonder, as you stare into a camera and say something like that, if you imagine, if you can convince yourself there's a single human being who believes you. Things are great. You should be grateful for our wise stewardship of your economy. Keep in mind, the woman you just heard, Janet Yellen, was the chair of the Federal Reserve for 4 years. So not to be technical about it, but if anyone is culpable for the disaster we're living through now, it would be Janet Yellen. So she knows she's lying. And she's not even lying very effectively because, once again, Americans understand the state of the economy because they live within it. They pay for things. So if you're going to lie about its cause, you're going to have to do better than just pretending it's not going on. You're going to have to blame somebody else. And so the White House enlisted Joe Biden's publicist to make a video about Vladimir Putin. Watch this.
You may have noticed this week that your gas prices have gone up. I want to talk to you a little bit about why. A lot of it has to do with Vladimir Putin, and there's opportunities to produce more from here. But part of this is on the oil companies. Right now, there are 9,000 approved unused permits that oil and gas companies could tap into now to ramp up production. That's why the president has been so focused on investing in clean energy technologies so that we can rely on that and not President Putin to set the price of gas.
I want to talk to you a little bit about why that's happening. What, do you work at NPR now? You don't know anything. You are a publicist. Please stay in your lane. But she's telling us that actually oil companies, which we assumed were very greedy and that was the problem with them, in fact, don't want to make money. That's their real secret. And that's why they're not drilling for oil anymore, because they just don't want the oil, because they're oil companies and they're altruistic or something. She must have learned that in gender studies class at Oberlin. Now she's telling the rest of us. But really, Jen Psaki said, it's about Vladimir Putin. It's Vladimir Putin's fault that you're paying more for gas. Now, the truth is, Vladimir Putin did invade Ukraine. That's true. That's bad. But that's not why you can't afford to fill your tank. It was the White House, and we should say the Congress's reaction to the invasion, that is roiling our economy. That's true. So among many other things, the White House just banned Russian oil imports. For example, oil prices immediately rose. That's what happens when you shake up a market like that. Americans immediately suffered. We were told, many people told us, it's worth it because this is a moral victory against Putin. And some people took solace in this. But you have to wonder, how exactly is this a moral victory against Putin? Think about it for a minute. Russia is a major oil producer. Jen Psaki said that in her interminable video a moment ago. That would mean that higher oil prices help Putin. They make Putin and the Saudis and the Venezuelans and Iran much, much richer. Why? Because Russia can still sell its oil in global markets, because the world has not joined our boycott. What does this tell you? It tells you that the loser in this policy is not Vladimir Putin. He's the winner. It's the United States. And it's not just oil. Thanks to the Biden administration's mismanagement, commodities across the board are up dramatically. Potash, fertilizers, wheat, huge. Nickel went up 250% in 2 days. Who's going to pay for all this? You are. This is the biggest tax increase of your life. And by the way, it could very easily get worse. Why? Because oil is traded in U.S. dollars. Ever hear the term petrodollars? Why would the rest of the world continue to trade oil in U.S. dollars, a fact that greatly benefits us, when there's uncertainty imposed by political forces on oil markets? There would be a huge incentive to trade oil in another currency. Maybe the Chinese currency, maybe the euro, maybe crypto, who knows? But there will be new and competing markets in which oil is traded in something other than U.S. dollars. And that's a massive loss for us. Here's the bigger truth. Our global financial systems benefit us. That may not be fair, but it's true. And they're the basis of our wealth. So if you destroy them in an effort to get Putin, who are you really destroying? You're destroying the United States. And that's exactly what they've done. When you attack and destabilize the global financial systems, to restate, you're attacking and destabilizing the United States, not Putin. You can't see this right now because there's so much hysteria being ginned up by the media, particularly on social media. But when that hysteria lifts, when the cloud finally evaporates, it will be obvious that the Biden administration's response to the invasion of Ukraine is the single most damaging thing any American president has ever done to this country and to the world. Not to Putin, to us and to a lot of small countries that didn't deserve it. It's hard to see that now. All you're seeing are Ukrainian flag emojis on Twitter. But someday we will assess this moment with clear heads. And when we do, we will be horrified.
Well, that's it for this evening. We want to thank everyone for listening to this. We hope that you're getting some of the insight from these excerpts. But go in and research the web. Don't believe anything, just, you know, without questioning. So go in, and we want to say God bless each and every one of you. We were down at the Alamo last week. We've got some videos we're going to put up soon about that. Texas Revolution, front of the Alamo last week. Thank you for listening.